Good morning, and you are listening to WMFO 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform, commercial-free, community-based radio. And you're about to get a slice of that community-based socialist alternative radio, talk and music from a working-class democratic socialist perspective. And we have today as your co-host, myself, Jeff.
Diego.
And Diego, whose mic isn't up. My fault, Diego. Let's just pull that up and reintroduce yourself.
Hello, Diego.
And if you're a regular listener, you know that we've been co-hosting off and on different times. And welcome to our show. Hey, what is the date today? Just to mark it in
16th.
Our heads. The 16th, June 16th.
Happy Father's Day.
2019, Father's Day.
They don't give us enough credit.
I my children, I don't think have done anything for me for Father's Day, which is okay. I wasn't pushing it. I definitely didn't want to spend any money on it for the usual.
So you don't get the steakhouse? Students. They don't take it to the steakhouse?
I don't eat steak, so.
Oh.
Nah. Well, I mean, there have been Father's Days.
Fried chicken steak or something.
Nah. There have been Father's Days where I say, hey, yeah, take me out to eat seafood. You know, go get a lobster roll or something.
Yeah.
But it's hard times, despite what they say about the economy, and I just can't afford it. So we're not doing that. So anyway, we today we're going to be talking about, here on Social Alternative Radio. By the way, you're listening to WMFO Medford. That's WMFO in Medford. That's our legal ID, and I just want to get that out there. I'm going to be talking about the recent, you know, we've talked about it on the show before, but there's updates, so we got to give you the updates of recent polling data about the popularity of socialism, you know, defined different ways or whatever, but still, that general popularity of the word socialism. And then we've got some...
Well, I've been trying to get on the air, and just to tell you, we've hit a nerve with Trump. He's talking about it.
I know. Remember that? For 2 weeks ago, was it?
At least
a few months ago, he gave a speech or something.
Never socialist. It's like, we really America, got underneath his skin.
Yeah. America will never be socialist. That's what he said. And we don't guarantee that it will be, but if we're going to survive, it better be. We better have democratic socialism in the future, or it's going to be capitalism going to destroy the environment. Probably destroy us even before that through some sort of war, you know, drag us into a war over rich people's oil again in the Middle East with this Iran stuff. That could trigger a nuclear war.
South America also.
Yep. So it's socialism or barbarism, as Rosa Luxemburg said, a famous socialist who was murdered for her beliefs in Germany.
100 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's an anniversary.
1919.
Yeah, she was murdered by, complicit in the murder were actually liberals or social democrats, the European equivalent, in a way, of liberals.
Kosky, meaning, was he involved?
Not directly, but his the people he ended up supporting
were part of the plot.
And social democracy is shorthand for socialist parties that started out revolutionary, and then became corrupted through repression and, you know, maybe wanting to opportunistically get into power in coalitions with capitalist parties.
And they voted for the war credits.
Yeah, they voted for World War One to be funded, and Luxembourg and Liebknecht, two famous socialists who refused to bow down to that, were murdered for their beliefs in Germany. We should have a whole show about that sometime. I don't know why this is coming out capitals. I have to do this. What's going on, man? Sorry. Actually, let's put on some music right away because I have to get some technical stuff done here. Let's continue. Well, first we'll tell you what the show's going to be about, then we'll put the music on. We're going to do some stuff about Sanders making a speech about what democratic socialism is, and actually he basically defined what it isn't. So we're going to go over that. And also Shama Sawant, the socialist city councilor in Seattle, is running for re-election, and we're going to talk about a thing I found that has, or was actually sent out by the Sawant campaign, that has a record of accomplishments of one, so just getting one socialist, one independent voice, meaning independent from big business, elected to a large city council like Seattle, and all the stuff we were able to do using a socialist method, when revolutionary socialists run for office. It's not for it's not for careerism, right? It's not to make money. It's not to keep the status quo going. And therefore, the methods that you use in campaigning and once you're in power are different as well. It means basically going to the people. It means basically mobilizing people, organizing people to support whatever you're trying to get done rather than the backroom deals, you know, which always turn out bad for the people. So we got that kind of a history. Also,
no lobbyists here, you know.
Not lobbying, but protesting basically until the ruling class can't stand it, and that's different amounts of protest at different times. And we have within the last 24 hours, an example of a mass protest changing some ruling elites' policies, at least temporarily, in Hong Kong, where they wanted to Chinese state capitalists, they're not communists, by the way, they control Hong Kong, and they want to bring in laws that will make Hong Kong have less civil liberties than it had. Not that it's a paradise or anything, but it had more civil liberties than mainland China. And that meant extradition to China. For extradition means we can take you and bring you to China to try you there. And the courts in China are notoriously into the death penalty and they don't really follow any kind of they're not under accountability of the people in any way, really. And so the laws can be very severe and used against political activists and all that kind of thing. And there's already been some disappearances in Hong Kong of people that ran bookstores and stuff, and of people that youth that were believe it or not, pushing organizing what they considered to be Maoism. And that's illegal in China. So anyone that thinks China,
even their own,
it's not illegal per se, but it's illegal if you try to actually do it. You know, yeah, their own philosophy that built the revolution.
You think they would support? We were in the same so-called Communist Party.
They've got billionaires running the Communist Party.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a Communist Party anymore. But people have a hard time wrapping their heads around that. But this is all to get to the point of, if we have time, an article by Youssef El-Ginjihi, I'm probably mispronouncing his name, G-I-N-G-I-H-Y, that I found from actually last year, that was the 200th anniversary of Marx. But I like the title so much, I started to read it again. I think I read it before. It goes, "The world is finally ready for Marxism as capitalism reaches the tipping point," which is what I was trying to say a minute ago. And that's got some good Marxist theory stuff in it. I doubt we'll have time for that, but we can always do that next week or 2 weeks from now, because we're on every other week here on Socialist Alternative Radio. We're on an alternating schedule every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Now, in order to do some technical stuff here, we're going to just put some music on. And what number here?
Number 3.
Okay. And then what's the other one you had? Might as well get that in there, too.
Yep, number 4.
Don't know how long the songs are. And we're going to hear some rap, I guess, right? Is that what we're doing here?
Yes, we are.
All right.
Good old uncommercialized hip-hop.
Hip-hop, excellent. Okay. And we'll be back in a few. You're listening to Socialist Alternative Radio. A couple minutes, really. Talk and music from a working class, democratic socialist perspective. Stay tuned.
Atlanta, gateway to the South.
Yeah, but between the two, hold on.
You gotta be right. It's a strain, man, living in these veins, man. Sucking on a piece of sugar cane, jerk a chain, take the wind out the throat. We'll never wash away the pain, so let the stain soak. Boost a new wave, ideas, fingertips carry language. Computer red, half dead, remove swimsuits for greenbacks. I'm on the corner with my butt up, selling new product. Women putting themselves in positions to get cut up.
Dump out your guts, fill you up with what? Not that much, damn good
at osmosis. With that thing up under the pillar crust, caught in the crossfire between Yankees and 49ers, rivals, but the South remained calm, neutral. When we said blood, that meant homeboys ended each other's lives over colors and things that they couldn't bring to the next plane. Prostitutes and blue badges, who were the biggest gangs in Babylon, dying slowly but surely. Malicious drivers with hairpin triggers on the loose like juice, and white America couldn't stand it. LAPD planning, incriminating evidence, jurors under gag order, but talking outside the courtrooms, shooting birds at the judges. Fuck Texaco employees, outrageous slurs, destroying documents or complaints from black workers.
The battle's no longer physical, it's from within.
But you can't win for losing. What sides are you choosing? decisions to make.
Legalize the dope and make paper. Think it's time to pull another caper out of my bag of tricks. These niggas ain't recognizing how they using us to get rich. Niggas dying and shit. I would've broke my back for the scratch. That's what I did when I was a kid. Always had the thought of doing a bid in the back of my mind. A life of crime was the last resort. I knew that going to court, drama wasn't likely. I'm an extremist, like a chemist. Cooking up a plan like the witch doctor. Store a shot like a 1,000 volts. Over the edge, over the hope with the CIA selling coke to make they blow. Go up the river, King Louis, liquor sipper. As I strategize, I plan to infiltrate the crooked new world ways of living life. Who we got to fight to get it right? Are you down in
the relentless realism, regardless, represent Southwest skills I possess and manifest this heaven sent. What said is meant to the fullest extent. No nonsense, because my conscience wouldn't be content with just a little wealth, a little fame. But your mind frame will keep you living the same. And it's a shame that niggas would settle with the ghetto. Holes at some clothes and ain't making what you suppose. Let your eyes close to what your contract shows and fine print. They gotta get back every cent you spent. You content, cuz you do what everybody does. The industry done changed from the person you was. Knee deep in the struggle, two part-time jobs to juggle. Got a lady and a seed that you can't hardly feed. In the day your life could end, so you depend on the reciting and the writing. When you got the spare time to spend to keep you stable, hoping one day you'll be able to be a commodity on somebody's record label. Got your chance, $20,000 advance and a car, and all of a sudden you a star at the bar balling, calling the waiter to bring one of they finest wines. Then you started snorting lines. Your life defines the misconception of staying down. You can't be influenced by everybody you hang around. You should have been more appreciative of the life that you were blessed to live. 100% is what you got to give, cause ain't no telling. Your bullshit starts smelling, and you wonder why your record ain't selling no more. Ended up with no dough and no respect back in the projects and building 23 right next door to me.
The battle's no longer physical, it's from within. You live to die, and you die to live again.
But you can't win for losing. What sides are you choosing?
Decisions
to make. Decisions
to make.
About your guts. Fear of what? Nothing but them good ass.
So Diego, I'll let you. Yeah, go ahead. Explain all that.
Goody Mob. That's what I was growing up to. Just like the Clash for you, you know.
Did you know about the Clash?
Not really. I think I got hip to the Clash with you when I started doing the show here.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And
although I did hear some of the songs were very familiar in my head, I didn't know who was playing at the time. You know, when I was younger, I just like, for instance, what was that one? Rock the Cash Bar, for instance, was a song I've always used to hear.
Rock
when
the
Cash Bar,
yeah, yeah,
but
that
I
was
didn't
a hit.
Know who it was, you know, I just know it was a good song.
Yeah, you know, I was reading about who's the guy that is it Dr. Dre that gave that what's his name to start? You know, the
Eminem.
Yeah. Was
yes.
it Dr. Dre?
Yes.
I think I was reading about Dr. Dre. It could have been somebody else. So
Eminem.
Forgive me, hip hop. Hip-hop people that know their stuff, I don't. But it was a really great article I read, because he was talking about how he's into the Clash. And I was really shocked. I think it was him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, but he was also being very interesting, because he was saying, like, as I get older, I listen to more stuff. And the Clash had a rule, no Stones, no Beatles, no Stones, no Elvis. Meaning that they wouldn't listen to any of that or play any of that.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, because Elvis is doing a lot of biting. There's a term called biting, like copycatting.
Yeah, so
you know, from
yeah.
jazz artists, yeah. and bebops, you know, and Ray Charles.
Right. Yeah.
Beatles, same thing, except Lennon.
Yeah.
Except Lennon.
Yep.
And who else? Who else did he say? Elvis. Elvis, Beatles,
no
and
Beatles,
the Stones?
No Beatles, no Stones, no Elvis. Or something
I
like that.
I like the Stones.
I know
about
that's
the Stones.
Point. Dr. Dre, I don't like, hey. I had a really good friend. People I grew up with love the Stones. They tried to get me onto it, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. But the older I get, the more I hate the Stones. Because, you know, Mick Jagger and his knighthood and all that kind of stuff. And They had a couple good songs I could still listen to, but really beyond the Stones, really,
same
really
with the Beatles, done but with I, the Stones. I wouldn't, like,
yeah,
except Lennon.
I went through a big Beatles period before, just before he got shot. It shows how old I am. Very old, but you know, I was first year of college, freshman year of college. There was like a Beatles revival in my little circle of friends. And we were like, and they were, there's rumors about them getting back together. We're like, we don't care where that happens. We don't care where we're going to be. We're going to go to that concert. That was like our pledge, you know?
This is before he got killed?
Yeah, the year before. I think he was killed my sophomore year. Or maybe it was later my freshman year. And that was just really sad. That was horrible. Like, we were in shock when that happened.
It sucks when these groups are about to make a comeback and then that one important guy in the group dies. So you can't have a reunion without that one guy. Say with N.W.A.
I'm glad they didn't try to.
Say with N.W.A. Eazy-E died of AIDS.
Yep.
Literally 95. They were about to make an album together and boop, he's dead.
I know about that.
Just like that. Which I don't even think he died of AIDS. I think it was something else.
Really?
Yeah. He looked too healthy in his casket for someone with AIDS. And he died too quick.
I didn't read about that part of it. We've played like hip hop and rap on the show before, but not as much. I really like it. I really like the whole idea of it and the execution of it a lot of the time, but some of it I just don't like. And it's like anything else. It's like rock, you know.
You got commercial rap, and then exactly. You have your like the rap today. I go to my nephews. What are you listening to? What is he talking about? There's no here or there.
Yeah.
And I'll play something that we just played, and he'll say, who's that? Oh, my God, that just came out. I'm like, yeah, that just came out. That's a new release, Underground. And he looks at the year, and he goes like, 97? I wasn't even born yet. I'm like, you.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we're trying to save money on is, like, I go a long time in between haircuts. When I get my haircut now, I go back to, like, Supercuts or something really cheap, you know, like even copies of Supercuts, like Cost Cutters and stuff like that. These really cheapo places. And I get rotten haircuts, but I don't really care. But the point is that, like, when I used to have a little more money, I thought I did, I went and I'd go and get better haircuts, right? You know, instead of like $17, it'd be like $40 or something, you know? And the guy that cut my hair and pretended he was doing a great job, and he did a better job, he would always have techno on. Right? In his shop. Dance, you know, techno dance music.
Yeah, the house music.
Yeah, the house music. Not always, but a lot. A real lot. And I went to that place over a number of years, and I had to admit one day, I said to him, you won. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, the stuff that is on, like, Amp 103 and all those stations to the right on the radio dial now, it's all a variation of, like, it's not pure, like, house or techno, but it's like, you know, that kind of beat, that kind of I would call fake orchestration, or, you know, whatever, with, like, you know, Ariana Grande and all that kind of stuff, which is, some of it's all right, but a lot of it is really horrible. And that's pop music now. That is pop music now. And that's what my kids listen to now. And I'm like, nah, you're missing out on a lot of stuff.
There's going
to
be a day that we'll wake up, it'll be like Demolition Man. You ever seen that movie?
Yeah, but what about it?
Okay, so they turn on the music because everything's dumbed down. Everybody, you know, nice. You can't touch no one. You can't eat red meat or whatever it is. and the first thing they listen to, what's on the radio tune, broadcast, is like, Meyer, Oscar Meyer Wieners. You know,
I know that one.
The jingle to the
jingle. I grew up with it.
So
that's allowed.
Sylvester Stallone's like, don't you have any of this or the Clash or this? He's like, no, this is all we have. This is what they play 24/7.
You know what? I didn't see Demolition Man. I thought I did.
You got to watch it. And it's a good movie because it gets into, like, how dumbed down society can get.
Yeah.
And it's ruled by this
one guy. Well, whatever makes money, you know. Whatever makes money.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw this movie.
It was sci-fi. It was very
I like science fiction. Class conscious. Yeah. I saw this movie with Vin Diesel about, like, a future society. I thought that's what you were talking about. But that was didn't have much.
Oh, you're talking about Babylon A.D.
Yeah,
like
probably.
That.
That
was more dramatic.
Yeah. So anyway, we are going to talk about movies a little bit today, right? You brought in... Do you want to talk about that? You want to talk about those?
Yeah. When we get to marks, we'll get out.
If we get to marks.
I am not illegal by peck.
I left it in my
backpack. And land
Land of Freedom by Ken Loach, which we've definitely mentioned on the show before. And I think we mentioned Raoul Peck. Obviously, we did talk about
the director of the young Karl Marx.
Yeah.
But he also did one called I Am Not Your Negro with James Baldwin.
Yep, and he writes about Marx and stuff too, essays. I wish I knew more about Raoul Peck. I started to read about him.
He's Haitian.
He is Haitian.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not really that familiar with his career, like what he was doing before he became known, basically through the movie you just mentioned, I Am Not Your Negro, that put him on the map, so to speak, as they say, which I hate that expression, but anyway. And then he, and then young Karl Marx. And I believe he's working on something else now that's possible. Yeah. And people that are listening are wondering, why doesn't he check on his laptop and look it up? Well, number one, we don't have time. And number two, I don't have a laptop. There you go. You want to give me a laptop? Go ahead. I'm not paying $500 for anything right these days.
Chris anymore. Remember Chris?
Yeah, Chris.
He would bring his laptop on. And I'll tell you right away.
CRISPR Sampieri was a big one for the instant laptop feedback.
Yeah.
You know, but there are even limits to that. But anyway, so as we said, we're going to talk about this polling data on socialism. Now, here's an article by Natasha Hakima Zapata from truthdig.com. And the headline caught me. It's from June 10th this year. Most American women prefer socialism to capitalism. Wow. Okay. Because that's a large group, you know. That's not just like people from 18 to 35 like prefer socialism. This is which is true. This is most American women. Wow. Okay. So and I like the way it starts off. Quote: signs that socialism is gaining popularity in the United States are popping up everywhere. Publications such as The Economist, The Guardian, The New York Times have all been saying for some time that American millennials are more interested in socialism than capitalism these days, with one 2017 Guardian piece even framing it as a youthful love affair with a not-so-young idea. Actually, socialism historically is a very young idea, Guardian. Anyway, then she mentioned Sanders. She says unexpected popularity among young voters during 2016 Democratic primaries. She mentions Ocasio-Cortez. Sanders actually won more votes from the under 30 crowd than Trump and Clinton combined. Now, that's interesting. So she's conflating the Trump primary or the Trump election. I don't know. That's interesting.
It was the primaries.
I think it would be the primaries. But they weren't. There was no primary with Hillary and him. It was Clinton was Democratic primary and Trump was Republican primary. So I think it's the two primaries side by side.
No, I mean when they were going to make a decision who was going to it's going to be the forerunner, either Hillary or Sanders.
Right. No, I know. So they're talking about the primary with Clinton,
which that's why I don't trust him anyway.
It's one of many reasons.
Throwing the towel and just like, okay, you won. You know what I mean? It's like, no.
He said he promised he would do that again this time, multiple times. The one that got the most press was he did a CNN town hall televised thing not about 2 months ago, was it? Something like that. And he was asked multiple times, will you support whoever wins the Democratic Party primary if it's not you? And Sanders said multiple times, yes, he would, just like he did with Clinton. So time for people to really wake up, I think, when it comes to Sanders. But anyway, she mentions DSA, et cetera. And anyway, now a new Harris poll, Harris is a famous polling data company, I guess, conducted the show Axios on HBO, AXIOS, I've never heard of that, reveals 40% of Americans, would take socialism over capitalism. I would, thank you. I think you would too, right? 40% of Americans would take socialism over capitalism. Would you? No, I want to hear a yes.
Yes, of course.
In case someone just joined in.
It would change a lot in our society and the way that we work and the way we live.
By the way, if you're tuning in for the first time, it's not a counterpoint thing with Diego and I.
It's like
we're on the same side here.
So they sit us down in the administration at the hospital I work at. It's like, how can we do this better? And in my head, I'm like, if I say what I really thought, I'd be a pariah.
Yeah.
You know?
Make it free. They are supposedly discussing some sort of single payer in the Massachusetts legislature right now. Now, whenever the Democrats get their hands on anything, or Republicans, of course, it kind of gets watered down to something like Obama said he was reforming healthcare. He actually made it worse in the sense of more tied to the corporations, some people got health insurance, but if you have health insurance, you know it. Usually there are huge gaps in it. I just got charged $50 for a simple CT scan, and I'm in a union with a union health plan, but one full of holes, one that the union leadership keeps making concessions on for no good reason. And so my co-pays keep going up, and I'm getting charged for stuff I never got charged before. Same $50 here. Bucks for a simple CT scan. And then you've got, then I was talking to a friend of mine about this, well, we're kind of acquaintances slash friends, and guy I've known for a long time, and he's like, and he drives me crazy because we've known each other so long, I know where he's going to end up in every discussion that touches on politics in a larger sense. He always ends up with it could be worse argument, which that's such a crappy argument, because at one point it's going to get to the point where it can't be any worse, and it's going to be too late because you kept mitigating the problem. You kept saying it wasn't as bad as it was, so you wouldn't do anything about it, and you wouldn't help those people that were. I can't stand people like that. The intentional moderates that should know better. You know what I mean? I'm going to only go so far with my criticism. I'm going to go so far with my vote. I'm going to go so far with my act, or don't do any political activity because it could be worse. Well, it's getting to that point where it can't be worse, actually. If we destroy the planet, not we, but if capitalism destroys the planet for human habitation purposes, for our ability for us to live in it, that's the worst. If there's a nuclear war, that's the worst. You know, if the, you can't.
You're going to
get to the worst saying it's not the worst. That's the easiest path to the worst, by saying something, because nothing's static. Marxism is about dialectical materialism. Things are always changing. Concrete reality is always changing. And if you want to go through your life saying it could always be worse, right? Then you're ignoring the fact
get better.
and the implication is it's okay the way it is. It'll never get better, and it will certainly get worse. You're fulfilling your own prophecy, and you don't know. You think what you're saying is it's okay for now, and it's going to stay this way and get better maybe. No, it's going to get better maybe only if it drastic change that you're not helping with. And what you really mean is you're not willing to fight. You really mean you're okay with the status quo, and that's suicide. And that means also you don't care about young people. I'm sorry. Let's be honest. If you're satisfied with the status quo, whether you're a rich liberal or a working class person that doesn't know about politics, doesn't know a way out, I make allowances for the working class person because we're brainwashed. We're taught not to be into socialism. We're taught not to want change, not to fight, etc. And the system itself depends on that.
And accept it for what it is, and that's that.
Yeah, capitalism creates alienation and all that kind of stuff. So for working class people, I'm like, we can learn. We'll our experience will teach us. But rich liberals will go through their whole lives never touching the hard parts, you know, or mostly, and the rotten parts of the society. The never feel what it's like, you know, to be hungry or to be feel like you're going to be homeless or you are homeless and all that kind of stuff that can happen. Being unemployed, even being unemployed under capitalism, I've been there. It's scary as hell, right? Now, if you're a liberal and you got, you know, 200,000 in the bank or something, some rich liberal, you're not that scared when you're unemployed. I'm taking some time to, you know,
that's like,
I think I'll do some gardening.
Have you seen the new Michael Moore thing?
No, what is it? What's it called? I forget.
It's called Fahrenheit 11/9, which is the date that
Trumpo got in?
Got in.
Yes.
So November 9th.
Yeah, what's it about? Trumpo, obviously.
It's about Trump.
Yeah.
Well, there was a 1998, there was an interview where it was him, what's her name, the woman?
Rosie O'Donnell. No?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And Trump and him, Michael Moore.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, I was unemployed. He's like, yeah, I was unemployed at one point. It was like, yeah, how many, you know.
Trump said he was unemployed?
Yeah, he lost X amount of money. Does that qualify for unemployment line?
No, it doesn't.
Line or something
no,
like that?
It doesn't. Nope.
It's like in your face. Like,
you have more money.
Serious?
Yeah, I know. No, Trump
you
is.
You can't even compare.
Trump is someone with the blood of a lizard. He's got no compassion, no empathy. And I know people that voted for him. And I'm like, again, working class people that the ones I know, mostly was upper richer people that voted for him, not contrary to what you're taught. But I happen to know a couple of working class people that voted for him. And I'm sort of like, you don't know what you did, man. Yeah, and I understand why you don't know that, but it's just really, really horrible. It's just really horrible. And you're digging your own grave, you know. Not to imply if you voted for Clinton, you'd all still be digging your own grave. That's what most, that's the liberals don't get that.
Yep.
A lot of people don't get that. The lesser evil thing is to ramp it now.
But there's other options out there than just
There's Shaman Salon in Seattle. There's building other options.
People come up to me, why? Well, you, Joe, you voted for Jill Stein. That's your fault he got in. I'm like, what?
First of all, they can't do math. Secondly, if you don't build an alternative, it will never exist. That's one of the things I'm at odds with a lot of people.
I am not either liberal or Democrat. I mean, Democrat or liberal or Republican or libertarian.
Or conservative or libertarian, yeah. No, and it's also like, in American politics, it's such a joke because there's this well-worn path of putting off till sometime in the future, doing the hard work to build a political alternative and using lesser evilism as an example. And then really horrible things happen when your lesser evil candidate gets in, just as bad as things Trump is doing, but somehow you just forget about it or you have no historical memory. Now, there's material reasons for that. We've talked about on the show before that in countries where there is a history of a powerful socialist or communist or labor party, movement or political parties, they create enough resources, material resources in terms of education and everything from like buildings to political parties that people understand that, oh, wow, that's different than capitalism. Or at least it started out that way. And they want something different. And that's a real alternative. And I can actually vote for that, like, and get France. Involved with that. Yeah, like in France.
Like what I see in France.
Yeah. Well, in France, unfortunately, there's a lot of people like that, like we're talking about, which is great. But there was also among a lot of upper middle class people this lesser evilism with Macron versus Le Pen. And they fell into the same thing. It was like some of the articles I was reading, I felt like I was reading about America.
Yeah, but I feel like they're France, more in protest than
they protest more.
It's like more protest a cultural movements. Thing yep. with the French. It's like they didn't stop in right. November. It right. kept on going.
Yeah.
I think it's still going.
Well, more protest movements, more political parties, more choice. In America, though, they talk about choice, but it's all bull crap. They have a political monopoly, the big corporations, and even people that call themselves socialists will support Democrats like Sanders or AOC. And it's wrong. It's completely 110% wrong. You're putting off, at the risk of humanity and at the risk of horrible suffering, you're putting off what needs to happen in this country. You got to break that duopoly. You need a workers' party of some sort. Just getting close to organizing that will shift everything to the left. Everything will go left, at least for a time, unless they're able to co-opt that movement. Anyway, so back to the general popularity of socialism. 40% of Americans would take socialism over capitalism, right? That's very significant. But then this author says, perhaps more significantly, the poll finds a whopping 55% of women between the ages of 18 and 54 prefer to live under socialism. Wow. Let's repeat that. So we got 40% of Americans as a whole would take socialism over capitalism. Excuse me. Perhaps more significantly, the poll finds a whopping 55% of women between the ages of 18 and 54 prefer to live under socialism. I read that fast again. 55% of women between the ages of 18 and 54 prefer to live under socialism. That's very good. I got to say, even though I know
Mother Jones survived.
Yeah, Mother Jones, right. Even though I know that people will define socialism in weird ways, especially with Sanders going around talking about socialism being FDR and Democrats and all that garbage, that has to be worked out. It still shows this polling data a lack of fear over the word, which in the Cold War, it was harder to say stuff like that. It shows people are grappling with the idea of what socialism is and isn't. And it shows good instincts, basically. It shows anti-capitalism. And then this author says, a system in which women are underpaid compared to their male colleagues, under which productive rights are constantly undermined, reproductive rights are constantly undermined, and which doesn't guarantee paid maternity leave or affordable child care is clearly not a system that takes women who are most often the primary caregivers in American families into consideration. That's a great paragraph. She's absolutely right, this author. Yep. Natasha Hakimi Zapata. That's a brilliant observation there. It seems women aren't just fed up with these conditions, but are taking their dissatisfaction directly to their local and national governments.
It's like a coworker, right? She had a baby and she's back within like 3 weeks. And I'm like,
I know.
You should be in rest. You should be with your newborn.
Your baby should be learning from you. Yeah.
What is this?
Babies learn from
I got to come back or else, I'm like.
Babies learn from other people. And let me tell you, as an experienced person bringing their kids to daycare, You learn stuff in daycare, but it's kind of harsh, and you don't. It's crowded, you know, and it's expensive, and you don't learn as much as you do in a calmer parental environment, your baby, you know, family environment.
Your baby doesn't even have his eyes open yet. I mean, he's already like, where's mommy?
Yep. So then they end this article with just, I don't know. There's like a poll here. Let me see. They don't really introduce it. Given these numbers. Okay, so it's polling data from the Harris polling on different issues. So let's go through that. And I'm not sure if it's women or Americans as a whole in terms of this this segment that they extrapolated from to the whole thing. But anyway, universal healthcare, 76%. Why don't they say what this is? This is really a problem. It's a great article, except for this little part here. I don't know. They just all of a sudden give these. So I can't tell you exactly who they're polling here. It could be women or it could be Americans as a whole. Universal healthcare, 76%. That's excellent. Tuition-free education, 72%. Living wage, 68%. These are really great. Now listen to this one. This is one that their heads could be messed with by the capitalists. State-controlled economy, 66%. That's still a majority. Now, what socialists mean by state-controlled economy is a workers' government, which is very, very different from a capitalist government by the Republicans or Democrats or any bourgeois party.
In the same understanding of like state control? Is that like a Chinese like state control? Everything's state controlled.
I don't know how the people are thinking about it here, but under real socialism leading to real communism, you would have a workers' government in power, and that would be the state. It's like in State and Revolution where Lenin talks about how, look, you have anarchists who say they don't want a state, but the minute you have any sort of real organization, including any sort of military component, which you would need after revolution to defend it against the capitalists coming back and taking over or invading from another country, which is exactly what happened in the Russian Revolution, then you'd have a state. So the minute you have, like, you know, as Engels said, special armed bodies of men, or men and women, you know, that's the kernel, that's the essence, the core of a state. And you're doing that to defend the revolution, and you have to do that. But then, you know, having, like Lenin talked about, having everything being democratically elected, right of recall, the Soviets, big, you know, workers' councils, direct democracy, all that kind of stuff, added to that. You have a state, but you have a workers' state, a workers' government. Not like the Stalinists ended up with, but like the Stalinists did, but truly, you know, the most democratic government ever. But some sort of government is still necessary to reorganize.
We're talking about under Lenin, not under Stalin.
Well, no, but now I'm talking about in the future. If we're ever going to have democratic socialism or real communism in the United States and around the world, it'd have to be around the world. You would have to have governmental structures up and running, but workers' governments that would be coordinating the democratic planning of the economy on a world scale. And down to the regional level and national level and so on. There's no way around that. You have to reorganize things after capitalism. And then if economies are based on democratic planning and people's needs and wants becomes the norm, then you can talk about getting rid of government entirely in the future. But it will never happen immediately because you have the old system ready to jump back in and devour everything. Destroy everything.
Oh, there's a power vacuum, like what happened in Libya, you know.
Right.
Where, okay, now what? Now you have territories and different generals taking over and doing their
And none of them were socialist trying to form a workers' government. Definitely not socialist. Yeah. State, high taxes for the rich, 60%. That should be much higher. That one should be like 99%. That's disappointing a little bit. It's still a majority, though. See, all these are majorities except for one down here, two down here at the bottom that I'll get to in a second. State-controlled media communication, 57%. Again, wouldn't want that under capitalism, but definitely under socialism. Strong. I mean, what you could do under socialism is you would have media allocated democratically. So a political party would say, got X number of votes, they would get X number of media, X amount of media, like literally time, which would be a great improvement over now, where the capitalists own every last minute, except for like a little college radio station, 2 hours a week.
4 hours a month.
4 hours a month. So the
it's bi-weekly here, you know.
Yeah, and and anything left over, you could just do like a, you know, allocate through a lottery system or through some sort of voting. of other groups coming in that weren't political parties saying we want airtime too, you know.
Yeah, they give so much time.
It's public airwaves, right?
Yeah, huh? Uh-huh. 6:80 a.m. There's this program. It's like 4 hours long of libertarian talk. They call Free Talk Radio.
Where? Yeah. Where? Actually, I don't want to even hear the station.
6:80 a.m.
Oh, a.m. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's some rich person. Some rich person's behind that, you stuff, know, you know.
My teeth is growing just listening to these guys talking about, yeah, social stuff doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no freedoms. It just doesn't work. Okay, yeah. I heard you the first time.
Yeah, libertarian.
But why are you even, you know, there's no argument. There's no here and there. There's no debate. You're just voicing an opinion and doing the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Libertarianism is the freedom for rich people to exploit the hell out of the environment and out of people's lives through their labor. Yep. And that they call that freedom. They call wage slavery freedom. Yeah. And they're all hypocrites because they say they don't want big government, but they want big military, which is big government. They want big banks, you know, that they would say they want to get rid of like the Federal Reserve or whatever. They really don't. The real libertarians out there, they just want uber capitalism. You know, they just want capitalism without any challenge to it. You know, basically. Speaking of Uber and Lyft in a different context, before I forget, we were talking off air, Diego and I, about mass transit, how they're going to raise the T fares again in here in Boston and Massachusetts.
The 1st of July.
And
they're not thinking about it.
They're doing
it.
Yeah, no. The Democrats did that.
It's going to happen.
And people wonder why I don't like the Democratic Party because, well, they're starving me here. They're killing me here, you know. Every death by 1,000 cuts. So the subway fares go up. I already try to avoid the subway as much as I can because it's $2.75 for one ride if you don't have a Charlie card. If you have a Charlie card, it's expensive. And even I could even get a card from work that would be subsidized, but it's still like, a certain amount of money per month that I've already got a ton of bills, right? I don't need another monthly payment. And I don't ride it that much, now during the week. So I'm not going to get that card either, right? Because it's all money. It's all a lot of money. So guess what happened in Worcester, where I do a lot of political work? Guess what happened in Worcester?
They got rid of the commuter rail.
Nope. Some sort of good guess, though. That'll happen one of these days if we don't win. Let me put this in context here. Worcester's a pretty poor city, but a very big city, second biggest city in New England. It's in a region of central Massachusetts that a lot of people...
The Berkshires.
No. It's way east of that. Okay. But people are going from they're like we were talking about. You know, someone that commutes from Worcester to Boston for work. That happens a lot.
Yes,
because the rents are relatively, and I stress relatively, cheaper. Not really cheap, but cheaper in Worcester. So Worcester has a lot of immigrants, and you know, it's just it's not Boston, right? Where you have a lot of yuppies, no one uses that word anymore. I'm sorry. A lot of rich people and
hipsters
that have good jobs in high tech. Let's put it that way.
Until they get laid off.
Until the crash comes. Yeah, I know.
I've seen those faces in Kendall MIT.
I know.
They're like,
oh, I still remember.
I got laid off.
I remember 1999, the 2000. You know. But 2001.
My job
recession.
Was outsourced to some guys in India, you know.
Yeah. But I hate unions, you know. Anyway, the point of the story is that some Worcester, I think it might be run by the state, or maybe it's a sort of so-called think tank or something. They put out a policy recommendation that the mass transit in Worcester, which is basically buses, be free. Wow, I saw that. I'm like, wow, that's pretty socialist thinking.
Worcester has its own bus routes, just like
every region in Massachusetts has a transit
like
thing.
It's got a different
right.
Bus
so
system.
In Worcester, it's called the Worcester Regional Transit Authority.
Oh, okay.
And there's about three of them or four of them across the state, including MBTA here in the Boston area.
Bad.
Yeah, and so this group said, yeah, it should be free. I mean, you would increase you would increase ridership tremendously, which is low because they raised the fares and cut service last year, 2 years ago. They wonder why there's less people riding the bus, and people really do need the bus. Not everyone has a car in Worcester, and frankly, you don't want everyone to have a car. Well, you want everyone to have a car. I wouldn't begrudge anyone that, but what I'm saying is that if everyone drove their cars all the time, you'd have the same, ridiculous traffic jams in Worcester that you have in Boston and around Boston and pollution and so on. So it's a green thing, liberals. Hey, green thing, you know. Oh, so it's not just composting, all right, babies? It's you know, it's other stuff too. So, yeah, it'd be green. It would be save already a lot of poor people a lot of money. It would... you know, I think, you know, the system they predict would be very little cost to the state. So therefore, you could start, believe it or not, it would be like only $3 or $4 million or something like that. And that's nothing in the state budget, which is billions. So then you could actually talk about improving mass transit in Worcester. And I put forward, I you know, they should do light rail. They should think about light rail. Worcester would be a great place for light rail. That means that the railroad that goes above ground.
Oh, like Seattle.
Because there's enough room. Yeah, light rail.
Monorail.
Like in Seattle. Well, monorail's high up. Light rail is on the ground level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like in Minneapolis. I don't know if you've been out there. Or a lot of places have light rail now in the U.S. And Worcester, so there was a lot of abandoned areas and big like roads that used to have like trolleys on them years ago, and now they're still pretty wide. You could put light rail in pretty easily, connecting, you know, key places in Worcester. I mean, there's still manufacturing in Worcester. There's still a lot of people living there, like we said, to because it's cheaper, and there's other stuff going on.
See, under state workers, democracy, socialism, that would literally, we could get those factories to work for turbines, for this, for that.
Exactly.
You know, more
green,
jobs.
Green, absolutely. There's not going to be any such thing as a green.
We wouldn't be on the grid.
Yeah, there's going to be no green capitalism. There's only going to be green, if we're going to have green, anything's going to be green socialism, because every time a capitalist, like they started to manufacture wind turbines in Massachusetts, it lasted about a year. They went to China, right? And then the wind turbines are being produced for profit making. If oil's cheaper, the capitalists are going to go for the oil. You know, I mean, you could have some green technology development in capitalism, but they won't be fully implemented the way they need to be quickly in a planned way under capitalism. That's impossible. So this Worcester thing, what I wanted to say about it is that, you know, you hear this good news from and it got made news in Worcester, in the Worcester Telegram and stuff. It's like, yeah, study says transit should be free. I can just see people reading that or hearing about that being like, yeah, that's great. And we're putting that forward. Socialist Alternative and the Shama Swan campaign are putting that forward in Seattle, free mass transit, right? So what happens is a Democrat named Rosen, with other support of other Democrats in the Worcester City Council, it's almost all Democrats, they start talking about all of a sudden, well, why they see this very positive report about free transit. What's their conclusion? And you reminded me, this the libertarian thing reminded me of this. Let's get rid of the transit system entirely.
Just like L.A. did in
just
the 40s.
Just get rid of it. And then he said, we could just bring in a rideshare thing like Uber or Lyft, right? I think they're already there, but I'm not sure. I don't know if Worcester's rich enough for that. But anyway, so, okay, then what happens about a week after this Rosen guy spouts off? Remember the Red Line derailment?
Yes.
Okay, so here in Boston, if you're listening from overseas or wherever, here in Boston, the subway system sucks.
I walked to work that day. I don't want to be derailed on the Green Line.
Yeah, subway system sucks, and the rich people don't want to pay for it. The big corporations don't want to pay for it, even though they suck the workers into their companies to exploit through the subway system mostly. Boston has the worst commute in the country now, meaning people that can't do mass transit, that have to drive in. It's the worst backups in the entire country right now, and they're not doing anything about that. So, in fact, Sir Charles Faker might finally fall on this issue of transit, because he's in trouble now. He's such an elite capitalist that he won't even ride the subway, and they're telling him now, after this crash, some of the liberals are like, hey, Charles, they always call him Charlie because they secretly like him and vote for him. They're like, hey, Charlie, he's a Republican, why don't you come and ride the subway? And he's, I don't need to ride the subway. How does he talk again? I don't need to ride. He's got like a nasally voice, doesn't he? I can't do it. Maybe that's it. I care. I don't
just
need
think
to,
of the penguin.
I don't need to ride the subway because I'm Charlie.
That's like when I'm we really had that man room, of the when people. We had that snowstorm that just kept on. We just kept on getting hit. The
he
vortex.
Was in the bunker. Remember
the vortex?
Yeah,
no, he's like,
he was in the bunker.
Me and my four wheeler, you know, me and my four wheeler, like, they're just fine. Boof, right through, you know.
Yeah,
like,
to go to the bunker in Framingham. I want to overrun the bunker and just hang out there.
Or was he in Florida, really? You know what I'm saying? Doing the press conferences. Yeah. You're not even in the state, you bastard.
Yeah.
You know?
So Sir Charles Faker's under some heat now. He won't even ride the thing because now they got it going slow because they can't fix it fast enough because they suck. not the workers, the whole amount of money going into there isn't nearly enough money because they won't tax the rich and the big corporations to fund it. So that's where the money is, guys. It's capitalism, duh. Yeah. So anyway, what happened was the Red Line train derails, rush hour, right? People got to go to work. Especially, I can just see some of the like the upper middle class liberals running to their high tech jobs. I can't be late or I'll lose my spot in the cafeteria line or something. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they do. I won't be able to get the order pizza today.
But then you also have guys that, like, I've worked with this guy. He's about, I want to say he's around your age, maybe a little older.
Yeah.
But we were late because of the train or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people are late now. Yeah.
Some train broke down, so we have to wait. And he's like, so what does this mean? They're gonna fire me if I don't get there on time.
Of course, I
get you. I'm like, just call them. I'll go with you and I'll explain and be your witness. Yeah. It's like, hey, I'm sorry. No, I know. There's something
Americans
happening.
Americans are scared, running around scared all the time.
But he's scared in a legitimate way.
I understand.
And I'm like, he's a good friend of mine. So I said, understand. I'll go and talk to your boss. And
I'm not saying
and
it's illegitimate.
That
I have that fear.
BSing, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So we're all on the same page.
I have that.
And what's he gonna do? I said,
I've had that fear.
But you don't know my boss.
But you gotta be able to step back too. I understand he's your friend. I'm me. I have sympathy for me, right? I get scared about breaking rules at work and being late or something like that. But we got to step back and say, what a bunch of sheep we are to be scared. That we're not organized well enough to say, screw you, bosses. We're going to be late sometimes. Screw you, bosses. Your rules don't make sense. We're going to negotiate something
else. You know what they
tell
you?
But we're running around in the richest country in the world thinking we're the Uber race or something. Mm-hmm. I'm an American. And that means you're a sheep compared to the rest of the world. You're not doing a revolution like they are in Sudan. You're sitting on your butt letting rich people step all over you and you're licking their boots for it. The average American is a bootlicker. And that's got to change. And I'm saying that myself. I'm saying that about myself too. Because it's not about us as individuals. It's about us, what we do together. And we're not doing enough together. We're not organizing enough. That's the point. But the actual point was, listen to this solution. Remember the guy in Worcester, the Democrat in Worcester, that says, "Oh, you all got to go ride. We'll privatize transit by destroying the bus system. Forget about all the jobs. It's union. It's
libertarian.
Part of the
libertarian.
It's part of the ATU, Amalgamated Transit Union. By the way, I haven't heard a peep from the union, which drives me crazy. So destroy the buses, destroy the jobs, destroy people's livelihoods. What about being late? What if you can't get to work at all because you depend on the bus?" There's some real fear, and I totally agree with that. Yeah. I totally agree with your friend, too, by the way. But I'm saying, you know, you step back from that and say, well, that means you got a lot of Americans scurrying around in fear of the boss. And that's wrong. They should be fear of us. They should be afraid of us. But anyway, back to the point. I'm going to take me a long while to get to it. Guess what happened when the Red Line train derailed? Everyone had the same fear that your friend had. They wanted to get to work, or a lot of them, or some people just wanted to get to work because they just love being exploited. So, they went and got their smartphones out, and they called Uber and Lyft. Guess what the Boston Globe reported? The minute that happened, the minute the calls reached a certain tipping point, there's an algorithm in the Uber and Lyft world that they have as part of their computer system to run the whole thing that kicks in something called surge pricing. Surge pricing means there's so much demand that they raise the price. There was so much demand this time, they raised the price to like $150,
whoa,
$158 for a 2 mile ride.
Serious?
Read the Globe. Anyone thinks I'm making this up, read multiple sources that reported on this. Not that you can trust these sources.
That's almost my whole check.
Of course.
Like, are you serious?
Of course. No one can. So this guy in Worcester saying, take Uber or Lyft. Uber or Lyft is expensive and they're unregulated. So they're going to become more expensive.
You're better off taking a cab.
And that's expensive as hell, too.
But not $150.
No, right. And the cab drivers were saying that. The cab drivers got to see, this is why we don't like Uber, because they can do whatever they want. They're not regulated. We can't charge over this much. And they're right. But the capitalists are like, the capitalists, it's not a logical system. It's based on relentless greed. So one group of capitalists doing Airbnb and Uber and all that stuff, they're just basically saying, we don't care about regulations. Go ahead and sue us. Go ahead and take us to court.
They don't care.
They don't care. But the other group of capitalists that run that own the medallions and stuff, or own the people that own the medallions, they are under a different set of rules, and they don't like that. Now, I don't feel too sorry for a rich cab owner,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but the ones that are rich. But still, yeah, it's not technically not fair.
You hear what they're trying to do now, or they're studying to do in New York City to cut...
Bunch of bad stuff. But go ahead, sorry.
With the helicopter to get to, like, let's say, what is the airport down there?
LaGuardia, or the other one, I forget.
Eagle something?
Yeah, I don't know. It's one in Jersey, probably a couple in Jersey. I don't know.
Helicopter. It's going to be $250.
Yeah, yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
But when more people, the prices will drop. So now you can get on a helicopter in New York City.
For $200.
To get to the airport where you're going to get on another aircraft to go where you got to go.
When they deregulated airlines in 1978, by the way, the Democrats, Carter, everyone's little pet saint.
And this is in the midst of that accident, that guy that crashed.
I know, yeah, the airplane crash, helicopter crash in New York. But when they deregulated airlines in 1978, and I'm old enough to remember that as a kid, they destroyed airplane travel in a lot of ways. It's extremely uncomfortable now, extremely expensive. People think, oh, no, no, the fares dropped. No, they really didn't. You got to look at that over time. There might have been a drop for a moment, then they re-monopolized. There's only like four airlines now, right? Big ones. You know, the whole thing keeps re-monopolizing.
And the small one just died.
And people have studied that have said, boom, well, on average, the airfares are more expensive than they were when it was regulated. But that's why the capitalists hate regulation, because they want to just make all the money they can. Mm-hmm. And by the way, one of the most polluting transports is air travel. Jet fuel is toxic crap, and a lot of it leaks out when they're flying and stuff. Gets into the water system. It's horrible.
That means I must be affected, because I always like to watch them take off at Orion Heights.
And they literally take off right over me. Yeah, maybe. If you drink water around there. We never finished our Harris poll that we started. Where you get less majorities, and you get pretty high majorities in all these, strong environmental regulations, 56%, high public spending, 55%. Government democratizes private business, that is, because work control over them to the greatest extent possible, whatever that means, 52%. System dependent on dictatorship. They got 49% say yes on that. I wouldn't say
Whoa,
yes to that.
What happened?
49% say yes to that.
Says yes, we want a dictatorship.
If the system is socialism, but that sounds a little weird to me. I wouldn't have said yes. Workers own and control their own place of employment, 48%. Now, that's the same as number 10 in a way, so I don't know. And then the last one is democratically elected government, 46%. Now, that's kind of weird, the end of that polling data. But big majorities for all the other stuff up there, higher up there. And then in this article, it's ostensibly about Sanders. It is about Sanders. It's a pretty good article, actually, which we might get to. A 2018 Gallup poll found 37% of Americans viewed socialism favorably, an increase of 2 percentage points from 2016. Conversely, 47% of Democrats viewed capitalism positively, down from 56% in 2016. And then according to the poll I just quoted, 55% of women between the ages of 18 and 54 prefer to live in a socialist country over a capitalist country. So this is more facts about socialism getting more popular. Now, if it's all right, there is no such thing
as a real socialist country in this world today.
Yeah, I know. It's more hypothetical than that, I think. Yeah, you're right.
Even Cuba. No, it's not.
No, it's not. I know. Yeah. Let me just look at something here.
China definitely isn't.
No, it's not. And you still have the corporate media talk about the Chinese communist system and the Chinese Communist Party and all that. And, you know, I really wonder how many people believe that. I mean, they know there's all these corporations over there. Even someone that's not into politics must be like, wait a minute, all this stuff's made in China by businesses, and they call themselves communists. That doesn't really work.